I'm excited. This is Missions Month. It's my favorite month every year, but this year holds a little special thing for me. Because it's not that we're bringing outside speakers from Egypt or Haiti or wherever. This year, all the speakers are in-house guys, guys that you know. And it's men that have been moved by God, that have served him on a foreign field, and now want to share with you their message that has touched them. And they're going to share with you throughout the month. Next week is going to be Dan Schondemeyer. Dan is a dear friend of mine. He had the opportunity to travel to Nicaragua a few years back. And what's going to be interesting, he's going to speak next week, but the following week, he's going to be with our younger kids, 5th, 6th grade, junior high, and lead them down to Grundy on a mission trip so they can start experiencing missions themselves. And we may hear from Dan through Skype that following Sunday just briefly. And then the following week after that is going to be Terry West. Terry, I'll be honest, he's sweating bullets. See, because Terry made a mistake a few years back. He said, I said, Terry, let's go on a mission trip. He says, no, you go during the summer. If you made one in the winter, I'll go. Next one was in February, and he went. And he has never missed a mission trip since that with us. It's just touching me. It's going to be, he's going to come up and share from his experience on the mission field. And then the last of the month is going to be Walt Rofus, faithful man of God. He has been serving this church and placing missions out in the forefront for years. He has a passion and a heart for it, and he's going to come up and share with you at the end of the month. But also at the end of the month, you may notice you have these envelopes in the pews in front of you. These envelopes are talking about we need to raise the funds to send a 66-passenger bus to Haiti. And what happens is they buy a bus here in the States, and then they fill it from front to back with everything that they need, anything and everything that they could get on it. And then it's driven down to Miami, Florida, and then put on a ship and transport over to Haiti. See, this is phase one. We want to make sure we could raise the money so that this bus can make it there. Then once we raise the money that make sure the bus could get there, the bus will arrive in our parking lot sometime first of the year, and we, with local churches in the area, will start filling it up. One of the things I know we're looking for, we're going to start gathering macaroni and cheese. The kids love it. And we're going to challenge churches around to give us 1,000 boxes of macaroni and cheese. And we want 5 or 10,000 boxes of macaroni and cheese for the kids. We're going to put brownie mix on there because they got some gas ovens now that's going to make it easier for baking and stuff for them. And so, but our first effort, we have to raise the money to get the bus able to be sent there. And then we'll take the time as a family and we'll fill it up with everything that we can. And it should be a wonderful, wonderful experience. Missions Month also allows us to start focusing not on ourselves. Because, see, when we look at ourselves, you know, we're more concerned about what's our living conditions, what are we doing, how's the economy, how's our jobs, how's our homes, how's our kids. And we like to hear all kinds of information about how we could be better parents, better spouses, better Christians, better this, and we sometimes just focus on us. But Mission says, let's look outside these doors, not at ourselves. So in that, I've been challenged in the prep of this message, and to really see where Jesus is at on the whole topic. And it challenged me to start reading the entire set of Gospels, all four Gospels, and not reading like, well, this one happened first, and this one, and this Gospel happened here, and look at the order. I had to step back and look down at the entire set of the Gospels to see what Jesus was talking about. How did he live his life? What did he walk like? And it was interesting. Very interesting. When you step back and look at the whole thing, one, he was not concerned about himself. Over and over and over, he talks about others. I want to read a passage that Paul wrote in reference to Christ. He says, it's found in Ephesians 4. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity in the Spirit, in the bond of peace. We're one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When we all unite together, it's not about the individual. It's about the whole unit. And so it's not about me. And it's not about you. And aren't you glad Christ had that kind of insight. So when he looked down on this earth, he said, it's not about me. And he just came down and he was willing to give his life for us. What do you think if he said, I don't know. It's kind of hard down here. I'm just going to leave. I'm tired. It's been a long day. So when I started reading the entire ministry of Jesus and looked at the interaction of what took place, it was always about the other person and never about himself. He modeled it for us. So as I looked, I started thinking about, we need to follow the footsteps of Jesus. And I'm thinking about this, trying to figure it out. And then I got an email Monday morning from Donna Fish, and it said simply this. It says, don't ask the Lord to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. Perfect. That's what I'm talking about. See, because my topic's called involvement, and I'm looking at, okay, if we pray to God, I want something to be done, we have to be willing to move. We have to be willing to be involved. We have to be a part of it. We have to participate in it. It's not just about praying. It's about action. And then I start rereading again, looking back into the ministry. And the first thing Jesus did, he's in Mark chapter 1, he comes out and says, hey guys, follow me. He didn't wait to chapter 6. He said, chapter 1, follow me guys, let's go. I want you to be fishers. I want you to do something. Now I got a question. How many of you have a Bible at home? Raise your hand. You got a Bible. Okay, really, raise your hands. If you got it, there we go. Now I can see because I have glasses. I can't see. Okay, no, leave them up. Leave them up. How many of you have the book of Mark in your Bible? Oh, good, good. We're all reading from the same one. How many of you ever read the first chapter of the book of Mark? Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. You know what that means? You all have now been called, according to God's word, to join him in his efforts to do ministry on this planet. Now, the problem is the doing part. Sometimes we like to sit back and go, well, I go to church every week or every other week, or okay, it's every third week, but I'm there once a month at least. And that should be good enough. Not really. When you look at his ministry, he called them and then started working with them. He started doing ministry. He started doing things with them. He walked around and says, here, let me demonstrate how I love people. And he healed people and he cared for people. He met them where they're at. He accepted people that were sinners. Imagine that. People that sin, Jesus went around. Now, I'm glad here we have nobody like that. Hold it. We got a room full of sinners, I believe. From where I'm looking, yeah. Where I stand, I know it for a fact, me. But he went and associated with him. He loved him. And he started teaching and interacting. He called them. He educated them. See, Dan's going to talk about education next week. Now, I got another question. Now, this is a quiz. Let's see how long your hands stay up. Who has been a Christian more than 2 years? Raise your hand. Perfect. 5 years. 10 years. 20 years. 30 years. Oh, did somebody lie over there? I saw elbow. No, you're not. 20. Oh, 30. 40. 45. 50. 55. 60. 65? Whoo! First service, we got to 80. And that's awesome. So guess what that tells me? If you've been a Christian more than 2 years, you have been educated in God's word. You've come and sat in service. You've been taught. You've been in different classes. You know a little bit about God's word. You know why you accepted God and why you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Now you can go tell somebody. You have been educated to do something on the behalf of Jesus. I don't want you to raise your hands when I say how many of you have done that or not done that. See, because statistically, they tell me in a room this size and this many people, most haven't. They've been given the greatest gift in all the world. They've been educated and trained, and they've done nothing with it. They've held it all for themselves and not shared it with another person. In other words, your faith hasn't moved to actions. You just have faith. Faith without works is dead. That's what Scripture says. Jesus then did something really unique. If you look in Mark chapter 6, he called all the guys together and said, "Hey guys, guess what? You're going to go out and, you know, I've been teaching you. I've been showing you. Now it's your turn to go do what I showed you, and I'll watch you. Yeah. And make sure you're doing it right." Doesn't that sound an awful lot like a mission trip? Guys, here, go. You got the education, go do it. Go out and do something, put your faith into action, put your feet into movement as you're following the footsteps of Christ, and do something with it. Next year, in February, Terry West is leading a team to go to Haiti, and that's in February. Then in August, we're going to lead a team down to Paraguay to work. The one to Paraguay will have men and women, both going to be more evangelistic. The one to Haiti will be more construction and going to build something. There's spots for you. But see, your mission field may be right through those doors, down the hall, and go downstairs with little kids and work in a nursery or the preschool area. Your mission field may be working with the kids that want to learn about missions, and you need to take them to Grundy, or you need to take them somewhere and help educate them. I know your mission field's not sitting in the pew, sitting, doing nothing. Because, see, that's not what you're called to do. You're called to action. You're called to move forward. Yeah. See, first service, I got myself in a little bit of trouble about this point. Because, you know, I could ask questions such as, you know, do you agree with me? Do you support it? And you, oh, yeah. And I say, okay, will you do it? Because first service, here's some of the excuses you hear. Well, you know, I've put my time in. I've served in nursery long enough. I taught for 30 years in Sunday school class. And you know what? The mentality, I started thinking about it a little bit. And how about if Jesus said, well, you know, I've hung on a cross long enough, I'm done. See y'all. And just boom, gone. You know, how long did Jesus serve? Until he died. And I'm glad he didn't stop before that. Because if he did, we wouldn't be here. It's that simple. But he was served up until his life was taken. So, what's your excuse now? Are you doing something, reaching out to make a difference in the kingdom of God? Or you say, well, you know, I've done it, you know. I'm done. Or I do VBS once a year. I do 3 days of it, 2 days of it. Okay, I give some money towards it. Well, not really. I don't do anything. See, what's interesting, when you stand here where I stand and look out at you all, because I'm at a lot of these events, I could go, yeah, I've seen some of you, and there's some of you I've never seen before. And you may do quiet ministry I know nothing about. Praise God if you do. But some of you I know don't. And see, this is where first service, they told me I stopped preaching and started meddling. You're not supposed to make me uncomfortable. You're supposed to make me feel good about Jesus. I am. He came and he gave his life for you so your sins would be forgiven. He died on a cross, rose on the third day, and is waiting to welcome us to our eternal rest after we do our part. We have things to do. Interesting enough, he sent the guys out. And when they returned, he was in the midst of a personal life crisis. He'd just gotten word that his cousin, John the Baptist, was beheaded. And that his head was being paraded around. And if you read a scripture, you would see that he was distraught over that. Somebody that he loved, somebody he grew up with, he was intimate with, has just been murdered. And these guys are coming back. Hey, Jesus, look what we did. We went out and we proclaimed the gospel. We said, the kingdom of God is near. And we healed people. We touched people. And we affected their lives. And they're telling other people about it. And those people are telling other people about it. And it's so exciting. And yet this other group of people that says, hey, Jesus, we want to touch anybody around you. And he's over here going, oh, my goodness, my cousin just died. And guess what he did? He still interacted and cared more about their stories, cared more about them, and cared more about us than he did himself. No excuses. Life didn't get in his way for loving people, for caring more about other people than himself. He did it. He didn't care about the economy. He didn't care about their job status. He didn't care about anything that hit them personally. He cared more about others. How you doing? Where is your center at? A lot of times we're standing right in the middle of it and we think everything's about me. And we don't like things when they change or get disrupted. Jesus didn't matter what happened, what changed, what got disrupted. He cared about others. Here's what's also interesting. Let's talk about change just for a second. First Service had a hard time with this too, I tell you. And see, some of you are going to have a hard time with it. If we said we want to institute a major change across the board, we're no longer going to have a band. We're going back and we're going to put an organ, put it right out here dead center, and we're going to play organ music for worship. Because we believe there's people that need to know Jesus, and that's the greatest tool that we have to get people in here that need to know Jesus. How many of you will be back next week? Oh, good. I'm so tempted to try it now. Just to see if you're real. But see, we've had that. When we introduced the band, people were like, Oh, no, not a guitar in worship, not drums. Don't they play that satanic music? And then oh, my goodness, not that rocking stuff. That's horrible. And I don't like it, and I'm not going to participate. We've had that here or with other programs. Anything that we try to institute, people are more concerned how to affect them. But, you know, no. It's not about you. It's about God. And the leadership here has been given a challenge by God, called, and it followed the model after Jesus. Because didn't Jesus make a few changes? Just think about it. Let me just dabble there. Before Jesus came, you would go to the altar and here's $5 because I only have this much sin, and I'm going to buy a bird and hand it to this guy, and he's going to sacrifice for me, and I'm good. And go, the next guy comes, I've really been bad. I need a goat. And goes through the same process. And it's an animal sacrifice to move their sins ahead for 1 year. You come back next year and you can do the same thing all over again. It just says, guys, no more. I'm going to come down. I'm going to give you my life. And I'm going to sacrifice my life for you. And now you have direct access to God. You don't have to go through the priest over there. You go directly to me. And you have a relationship with me. But all the guys going, hold it, but we've done it this way for 1,000 years. Actually, about 6,000 years, but anyway, from today back. That day, 4,000. He changed it. No longer will you worship the way you worshiped. No longer will you sacrifice the way you sacrificed. It is no longer about how you're dressed to come. I don't need the chief priest to come to the Holy of Holies. I need to talk to you. That was a major change. He first taught them about it, and he said, now deal with it, and learn to deal with the change and accept it. Now go out and bring others that's going to win. See, he's modeling for us, Jesus did. And we grumble at change. I've heard church arguments that are absolutely ridiculous about the color of carpet, got color you paint the walls. And I could tell you some stories that happened here too, over simple little things. But it's not necessary because you know what they are yourself. You've heard them. You've been there. Not necessary. See, Christ in the entire gospel is moving ahead of us to a point where he's continuing to say, I'm calling you. I'm going to educate you. And now you got to do something with it. You got to move. I'm going to challenge you. It's going to be a change. You can't just sit there any longer. I'm amazed at how many people think they can and they try it. And they're the ones that get really aggravated. See, I'm looking at the Coys and the Bay Lines. You guys, you sit over here, and then you guys have been moving for a while, haven't you? Yeah, although you've been there for a little longer than lately, haven't you? You need to move again, don't you? Well, see, I remember when they heard that and they started moving around, and people were like, oh, what's wrong? Who are you mad at over there? Because they moved to this side. Everyone. That side, this whole side takes care of it. Great. But they took it serious and they started moving just physically in the building. It was funny, some of the responses that I heard from them. God wants us to move. And then the final thing he did is he empowered the people through prayer. He called the people together and he prayed for them, says, okay, here's the deal. You guys got to go do it on your own, and you teach somebody. You challenge somebody to change with you, and you allow and let them do it. And then you challenge them to go teach it to somebody else. Involvement's really simple. You just do it. You get plugged in. See, next week Dan's going to talk about possibly, you know, here's all of our missions. You need to know who they are. You need to learn about them. He's going to talk about, here's what God's Word says, and here's things you need to do. And he's going to say, you can do something, and he's going to educate. He's educating children next week, or 2 weeks. Terry's going to say, hey, let's go. There's a trip and it has your name on it. Let's go serve God someplace else. Walt's going to say, hey, let's pray for our missionaries. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for, and get involved there. And there's a myriad of other areas. When you take your eyes off yourself, and you start looking on into others, and being more concerned about where they're at and what's going on in their lives than you are about what's going on in your life. When you become more concerned about what God is doing in this world and how you could be a part of it. See, that's why I get excited about missions. But some people, well, no, don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where you have to start. You have to have an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior. You have to accept him. And see, we have elders, we have some deacons, we have some staff members, we have Sunday school teachers that would love to sit down and say, hey, let me open God's Word, and let me show you what it says, and let me introduce you to my Lord, my Savior, my Jesus, so he could be yours. If you don't have a relationship, in a moment we're going to sing in a little bit, I'll let you come up front and let these guys talk to you. But I also look at you and go, yeah, some of you I know. I've known for some years now. You need to change your relationship with Jesus. You need to, instead of sitting and being one of the disciples that sit way in the back and just, yeah, I heard that story before. Move yourself up front and say, I need to do something to demonstrate my faith that God has called me to so we could change the world for Jesus.